Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight? What?
Take your stinking paws off me, you damn dirty ape!
At the Movies on BFM 89.9.
Hello, I'm Uma Paganampake Pagan, and joining me, Ian McNally, to talk about The Mummy, the first movie in Universal's new Dark Universal Monster reboot.
I can't believe they didn't call it Universal Monsters. I mean, that's what they are.
That's what they should have called it, right? The Mummy is directed by Alex Kurtzman. He was, of course, the writer on movies like Transformers, and he's worked with J.J. Abrams on Fringe. He's also one of the showrunners on Star Trek Discovery. It stars Tom Cruise, Sophia Boutella as the franchise's first female mummy, Annabelle Wallace as a scientist, and Russell Crowe as Jekyll and Hyde.
Yes.
Yeah.
And also should say, from the very off, it also stars Jake Johnson as Chris Vale, who I found incredibly distracting until I figured out who the hell he was.
Oh, so about 5 minutes into the movie, I just kind of shout out, that's the guy from New Girl.
And then I was shouting out, that's the guy from Jurassic World. He's the tech in the control room.
He is.
I found that incredibly distracting. I just kept thinking, that's Discount Dameron Poe. Right?
Yes, it is. It is. What do we think? This is a very odd film.
It is. It's a real odd marriage. Like, they're trying to marry all these old monster movies with the other big summer genre piece, the Tom Cruise running at action movie. And the concept alone is weird. Like, the idea that you're going to get such a big star. I mean, the whole idea of these monster movies is you get someone cheap, right? And to get Tom Cruise to be in this one and not play the mummy. He's not the mummy.
He's not.
Spoilers, folks. And then, I mean, I wanted to be, like, I was interested. My interest was peaked at the start. There's definitely some problems at the beginning. There's some, I don't know whether it's because Kurtzman's directorial chops or studio interference or Cruise interference. You know, a little bit of Cruise control might have been applied. It's a bit choppy, right?
It's very choppy. It felt like there was far too much exposition in the first 20 to 25 minutes in the movie. They were just talking at me the whole time, telling me exactly what was going on. And I kept thinking to myself, actually, if you remove all of this voiceover and you just showed it to me with maybe compelling music, I think it would have done the job.
And the thing is, it then goes ahead and does that later in the movie where it flashes back to some of those scenes or shows them from a slightly different angle. And that, they feel like reshoots that were in there for the dumb audience members a little bit.
I don't know if that was studio interference, because it just felt like so much hand-holding. And I don't think you need to hand-hold for something like this, because first
of all, ancient evil, bandages, run away.
Correct. And also, first of all, the Brendan Fraser mummy is still quite fresh in people's memories. And it was a very good franchise, at least for the first two films.
Yeah.
Then it got kind of lame, but it was fun, it was funny, and it was really, really entertaining. And the monster franchise in general has so much history and legacy to it that even if you've never seen any of those films, you've likely seen a clip of Boris Karloff or Bela Lugosi, or at least a still of them. You know that those images are ingrained into our consciousness as moviegoers, right?
I don't think I've seen all of The Creature from the Black Lagoon, but everyone knows that fish monster.
Exactly. I mean, so much so that it's a running gag in the Lego Batman movie.
Yeah.
And so I don't think you need that much exposition, but for some reason they felt the need to make this movie one giant prologue.
Yeah, there's a lot that's like, you know you're in trouble when there's a scene at the beginning of the movie and it explains England, whatever, a certain 1777 or 12-something BC or whatever.
Lots of title cards.
And then the next scene is almost, you know, you could piece it together. Like, you could have actually just left the camera there and then have the wall come in because it's a modern-day digger and it has to say, London, present day. And like, there's a barrage of credits come at you, one of which, again, then starts into this kind of weird tonal shifts that the movie has. One is like Mesopotamia, cradle of the civilization. And the credit lingers for a second, then it goes, also known as Iraq. And you kind of expect it to be kind of a jokey, you know, Guardians of the... I can imagine like the Guardians of the Galaxy music kicking in there while someone's running through the desert killing stuff. You know what I mean? And you kind of get that. There's an awful lot of like Tom Cruise running around with people screaming at him. Like, what are you doing, Nick? What are we doing? Nick, no, you don't do that. And it's like, there's an awful lot of that in this movie. But then it also has horror chops in certain spots. And then it gets incredibly dark. And then there's a weird moment of humor again. So it's like, but it's not a roller coaster that you're going with. It's one that goes at 90 degree angles every 30 seconds.
But that's because throughout this film, your protagonist, or the guy who's supposed to be your guide, Tom Cruise's Nick, is lost.
He knows nothing.
He knows nothing. He gains some insight literally in the last 3 minutes of the movie. That's about it.
Yeah.
But for the most part, everything is being explained to him either by Annabelle Wallace or Russell Crowe.
Yeah.
And it's all, hey, it's like The Matrix, where every character feels the need to explain to Neo what's going on in the film.
Yeah, but The Matrix had that you can't be told what The Matrix is. You got to see it for yourself. The Mummy, you know...
Everyone told him exactly what The Mummy was.
Everyone's telling what's going on, but none of it's going in. I mean, I think, was it in your interview with Tom or maybe at the press conference, you know, when you interviewed Tom, you know?
When we were hanging out.
Or at the press conference, he was saying, and I've heard him say this before, he likes to get characters or action sequence, some of that in his head, things he wants to do, and then he has to find the movie for it.
Yes.
And like, I'm not sure, was he producer on this, did he say?
Or he was producer on this.
Because he had to be in order to get it the way he liked it. Based on this and Edge of Tomorrow, one thing he likes to do is hang out in English bars. We all know he loves to run. But it seems to be this thing of he wants to be the character who knows nothing and is shouted at by other people. Oh, that's the Age of Tomorrow as well. My God, I didn't realize that. So that seems to be the thing. He wants to be the idiot protagonist.
But Doug Liman executed that rather well, so it was quite entertaining.
Yeah, for this, I mean, I think Saveed Patella, like, the treatment of that character is so well done, it makes me... I don't understand why Annabelle Wallace's character doesn't work at all.
So, exactly, right? So here's the thing. That's why I'm so conflicted about this film. Because on the one hand, while narratively this movie is all over the place...
Yeah.
The action set pieces are amazing, mm-hmm. and Sofia Boutella kicks some ass.
Yeah, and she's a 5,000-year-old mummy. Like, for the first part of the movie, like, she is a mummy. You get to see the bandages and the freaky movement, and it's really horror-ish.
It's very cool.
A couple of times my girlfriend squealed in the cinema during those sequences. And she has more character and motivation than the modern-day female character.
She does.
Annabelle Wallace turns up, and I think it's a big mistake to have the kind of big romantic spark between your characters happen before the movie happens. And as a result, she herself and that Jake Johnston's character, they spend their entire time just screaming at Nick. There's not actually really much dialogue back from Nick or him just asking what's going on or what do you mean or I'm going to go here because it's the thing I got to do. But there is, when you notice it, they're just running and screaming at him the whole time while he continues to run away or towards danger. It gets wearing.
The saving grace of this film is Sofia Boutella because she owns that role and she does it really, really well. I mean, even in Boris Karloff's film, Boris Karloff was the central attraction to that film.
Yeah.
In Brendan Fraser's movie, it was him. It was the adventure. It was the Indiana Jones character that he was playing and not...
And Rachel Weisz.
And Rachel Weisz, and not Imhotep, right?
Not Arnold Vosloo.
Arnold Vosloo, I like him a lot.
Yeah.
South African,
that's
right?
I like him in those movies. I think I was there for Arnold Vosloo more than Brendan Fraser.
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't there for Encino Man, come on. and there is,
jokes,
if you're...
Jokes of the Jungle.
Oh, yeah. I've conflicted thoughts on that one. But if you are a fan of those movies, there is an Easter egg. There is one Easter egg.
One Easter egg. You found it. I completely missed that.
Yeah, so if you look carefully, you'll see the Egyptian Book of the Dead, which this is a different character. This is not Amunet from the other ones as well, because Arnold Vosloo's Imhotep also wanted to bring his wife back at one point.
And that was Anuxunamun.
Anuxunamun. So it's nice that they're not quite the same ones.
They're not.
Yeah.
And in that sense, I think Sofia Boutella really, really does a great job.
Yeah.
But...
Because I think Russell Crowe's character tells you as a monster, like, you know, they don't... You are a monster, or we are the monsters, you know what I mean? It's like the stories are about them, but it's a problem when you put Tom Cruise in the movie opposite your monster.
Correct. And that's what I was going to say. But when you put her opposite Tom Cruise, you're not quite sure where the attention should be.
Yeah.
And then the ending, and we won't spoil it, the ending, they do this thing that kind of changes... the dynamic of the film.
Yeah, and it's incredibly unsatisfying as well because they set up something they're doing and there's no real follow through. You don't get to see Ripley coming out in the power loader. It's like it ends just when she goes into the shed and then the movie's over. You don't quite get, like, what happened there? What's the payoff for the next thing?
For me, the most jarring thing about this film was that every beat felt like they were trying to borrow from the superhero origin playbook.
Mm.
It felt like they were trying to do a Marvel Phase 1 film.
Sandy Spider-Man.
Yeah, right?
Mm. There are spiders in this movie.
There are lots of spiders in this film. Lots
but
of
don't
rats
worry, just
as well.
Kind of spiders.
Lots of rats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's another thing that, like, the more I thought about it afterwards, it was kind of endemic of this, the problems that this movie have. They find the sarcophagus in the desert. They have to move it, so they strap it to a helicopter. And there's, like, 6 or 7 shots of it just flipping around underneath this helicopter. And the moment they land, Annabelle Waris' character says, they're putting it on the plane, please be careful with that. It's 5,000 years old. It's like, we've literally just seen this thing spinning cartwheels, and it came close to hitting sand dunes, like, by, like, half a meter 6 or 7 times in that shots leading up to that. And I'm just like, you're starting to wear my patience. And it got, after that, so, again, Pirates of the Caribbean problems, a lot of the scenes are set at night, and so you don't get to see the cool... I mean, when you see the cool monsters, they're cool monsters. Didn't get to see them a lot. There's a whole, the whole thing on the ambulance.
Was it,
did you get lost in that?
I did. It was a really, really cool scene, but I got lost in it because of the way the camera was moving.
And also the lighting. I mean, maybe Kurtzman learned a little too much from Transformers.
It was a lot borrowed from the zombie genre in that, in those moments, and I thought really, really
they were very zombie
cool,
mummies, yeah.
Right? But yeah, you're right. Lighting was off. It was far too dark. I couldn't see what was going on. And it was also paced very oddly, especially in that ambulance chase scene.
Mm.
I'm just not happy with the idea of Universal borrowing the superhero playbook to make this series. I know that's what's hot, and I know that's what you think you need to do when setting up a franchise. But when you think about the monster films, I think forcing a connection, you know, the Marvel movies.
Think the connection is they're all in modern day. Remember, Dracula Untold was supposed to be the start of the Dark Universe.
It was, and that was terrible. So they mixed it.
There was some fun.
Did you
in
like
it.
That?
There
was get some. Out. Get out.
Charles Dance is amazing in that movie. But then again, Charles Dance could sell you,
but
cheese with worms on it and you'd still buy it off him.
The Marvel Universe works not because they're connected. The Marvel Universe works because as standalone films, they actually work. There is some solid filmmaking and storytelling going on there. Sure, they're formulaic and they borrow very, very heavily from the same tropes across the universe. But at the same time, it's solid filmmaking.
And they didn't put a big, nicely designed logo at the beginning of their Iron Man, the first Iron Man saying Marvel Cinematic Universe Movie 1. Like the fact that it says Dark Universe, it's got a Dark Universe, they've got their own logo. I think they might be a production company because it says Universal Studios and Dark Universe present. And it's like, yeah, the cart is so far in front of the horse. Like it's in Egypt and Mesopotamia.
I think the biggest problem this movie is going to face is that it's opening on week 2 of Wonder Woman, which is killing at the box office.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to continue to kill this week. And I don't think The Mummy stands a chance.
Yeah, and it has the moments this doesn't have. Like the relationship between Tom Cruise and Annabelle Wallace's characters. The relationship between Steve and Diana is just so much better. Like it's a relationship. This is a relationship. The action is better. The action is clearer. It's not as muddled plot-wise. Diana has a clear plot line of what's going on there. It's a satisfying ending. Even though it's like it's part of a greater universe, it ends in a satisfying way.
And there's a great hero moment. There are plenty of great hero moments in Wonder Woman. I kept waiting for the great hero moment in this film, which Tom Cruise always has in his movies.
And even the one with the moment where it looks like he goes through a bus on its side from the trailers.
Which is kind of cool.
Which looks kind of cool, but he doesn't go all the way through the bus. He sits down in the middle, and it's kind of like, is that it? And then there's a funny bit. And this is during a scene where all the glass in London is shattering as they run around London. And it's just, it didn't feel engaging. It's like, well, the glass is chasing them, fair enough. But like, they just keep running. It also really annoyed me that the catacombs underwater had bubbles coming out of them. It's like, really, are they breathing in there? I got nitpicky. After a while, I started picking nits.
No, but that's what happens, right? You start picking nits when there's so much that stops making sense.
Yeah.
And for me, as fantastic as these action set pieces were, as in that zero-G plane scene and the bus scene and the underwater fight scenes, they were all really cool. Mm. Somehow, the bits in between stringing them together just fell flat.
Yeah. I mean, when Russell Crowe starts giving a speech, what they really needed was Hellboy to walk through the door. And then that would have totally cemented their universe.
Ron Perlman would have saved this film.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. It's not an awful, awful movie by any means. I mean, it's not it's not unwatchable, but no. At the same time, I just left the cinema going, why did I spend watching 2 hours of setup?
Yeah. Setup that doesn't set up. It was unsatisfying. And I don't know. I mean, it's unusual to see the cruiser be this, not bland, but like, it's not Mission Impossible. It's not, what else does he do?
He was actually...
what's the last thing he did inside Mission Impossible?
Jack Reacher. But I think you nailed it, right? Because even in the Jack Reacher movies, which have their fair share of criticism, Cruise is still incredibly charming as the character.
Yeah.
And I felt that Nick lacked that Tom Cruise charm.
I mean, it is a redemption arc, but it's a very compacted redemption arc. And like you said earlier, if they'd cast Dan Stevens opposite The Mummy, maybe it would have worked, or someone else knew. But casting Tom Cruise, he expected more from Cruise and he just wasn't there.
You know what that is? It's also the genius of casting Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman,
mm-hmm.
in that I don't see Gal Gadot because I don't know who she is.
Yeah.
I only see Diana Prince. In this movie,
you haven't watched that many Fast and Furious movies, obviously.
Clearly. But in this movie, I just see Tom Cruise.
Yeah. And I mean, that's always been the way. But it's like Mission Impossible is Tom Cruise runs from things or runs at things. That's what that movie is. It's got very little to do with the old TV series these days.
Check out The Mummy and let us know what you think. I can't highly recommend it, but I still think it's worth a watch, especially
hopefully
since you can...
Hopefully it'll make enough money so that we get to see Universal's Abbott and Costello reboot.
I would pay so much money to see that. Abbott and Costello meet The Mummy.
It's on they are listed as on the Universal Monsters page for Wikipedia, Abbott and Costello.
And they should be, because those movies were fantastic. Let us know what you think when you do check it out. I'm on Twitter at UmaPagan.
I'm on at McNasty Prime.
You can also, of course, talk to us on our At The Movies Facebook page, which is just facebook.com/AtTheMoviesMY. You've been listening to At The Movies. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
And now, an ad from Dad.
All right, save money on car insurance when you bundle home and auto with Progressive.
Can I take these off?
All right. What is this? This looks good. Wow. That's well made.
Where did you get this? I'm talking to you, with the hair. Yeah, where did you get this? It's good stuff. That's solid. That's not veneer. That's solid stuff.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.